Hi, everyone. Thank you for being with us tonight for America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller. So glad to have you along. Ahead, we are going to talk to a father-daughter duo who wrote a book about alcoholism. It is called Alcohol, Drugs, and You, A Young Person's Guide to Avoiding Addiction, and also another book called My Dad is an Alcoholic, What About Me? Should be very revealing and just very nice father-daughter duo opening up and telling us a little bit about their story ahead this hour. Also, Dr. Michael Mantel, the author of The Link is What You Think and Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, P.S. It's All Small Stuff. He'll be along to talk about gratitude and how it can make such a difference in our life if we really pay attention to the things that we are so blessed to have. Tom DelVicaro of PoliticalVanguard.com will be here as well, talking about the political headlines of the day. He's also a contributor for Forbes and Fox Business News, and he has a new article there. We'll talk about the wall, all that good stuff, as well as the trending news. The Wall and the Senate Intelligence Committee says there is no evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. And now Senate Democrats are even agreeing. Again, no evidence of collusion. This after a two-year investigation, 200 witnesses, and heaven knows how many of your tax dollars. President Trump is tweeting about it, and this is all in the midst of the president and Congress trying to come up with the deal that will save us from a government shutdown Friday. The headline now, congressional negotiators scrambling to finalize that massive funding bill designed to end the months-long standoff over Trump's border wall that he wants. They call it Trump's border wall. It's supposed to secure the nation, right? So rank and file in Congress have been briefed, some things to their liking, some not, on both sides. President Trump says he's in no rush to sign it, and he's going over it bit by bit. There are reports he will tap into other funds to build that wall if it doesn't get done here. Stay tuned. In other breaking news, Kamala Harris smoked weed and inhaled, and she ain't afraid to talk about it. The 2020 candidate for the Democratic nomination opened up on a radio interview. We'll hear a bit of it in a moment and said, yeah, I inhaled and everything. However, she is getting flack because when asked if she was listening to the weed-loving Snoop Dogg at the time, she replied, definitely Snoop, Tupac for sure. But neither rapper had made it before she graduated from law school, let alone college, her time frame she gave. So some people, including the New York Post and a lot of people on Twitter, are taking her to task for trying to, quote, lamely fake being cool. But more than that, they point out that in her new book, The Truths We Hold, she lectured something else that's past time we get done, quote, is dismantling the failed war on drugs, starting with legalizing marijuana. But just over 4 years ago, she laughed at a reporter who asked about an opponent's support for pot legalization, and she refused to put the question before voters in a ballot measure. So a lot of back and forth, a lot more to find out. Find the article. Meanwhile, comedian Terrence K. Williams has his take on Kamala's weed smoking, and he has some questions for her. Why does she want to prosecute happy people? And what else? Listen to Terrence right now.
Have you ever smoked?
I have.
Okay.
And I inhaled. I did inhale. It was a long time ago. But yes.
I know you have to go. They say you have to go. I just
broke loose.
I mean, was it in college? See, I like stuff like that. That's a real honest thing.
Yeah.
Was it a blunt or joint? That's a real honest. Hey.
Yeah.
You remember the high?
I do.
So if it was legalized all throughout the country, and what were you listening to when you was high? What was on? What song was?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, definitely Snoop. Uh-huh. Tupac.
Girl, I knew you was on drugs. I think you smoking that crack. You wasn't smoking no weed. First of all, how were you listening to Tupac when you were in college? He didn't come out till the 90s. You graduated in 1986 from college. So how were you listening to him? And then you locked up a whole bunch of people for smoking weed when you were a prosecutor, but you used to smoke weed. Well, looky here. You should have locked yourself up. And I think you smoking that crack. Matter of fact, I think all of y'all politicians.
Give me your attention, baby. I gotta tell you a little something about
Hey, glad to have you along for America Trends. We are here for the hour with you, and we have Dr. Michael Mantel, author of The Link Is What You Think, coming up. Also, he wrote Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. P.S. It's all small stuff. It's a classic. It's on its 25th anniversary and beyond. And then also, we've got Tom DelVaccaro of PoliticalVanguard.com. He is a big-time contributor for Fox Business and Forbes, and used to be the head of the Republican Party in California, and he ran against Kamala Harris for a position. So we're going to talk to him about a lot of stuff, including all the political headlines of the day ahead. But right now, you know, whether it's at home or in TV or in the movies, we always see people dealing with, and you may have it in your own life, alcoholism, substance abuse. Pretty serious topic, and pretty serious for a pretty unwieldy topic for someone as young as 15, as my next guest is. And according to the CDC, I want to tell you, our children are starting to abuse alcohol as early as age eight, and drugs not long after. So the stats on young driver alcohol-related deaths are staggering. And we've got our next guest with us tonight, Mark and Leanna Treitler. And they wrote together this book. I mean, you guys are so amazing to just reveal this so you can help others and put yourself out there. I can't say enough about it. My dad is an alcoholic. What about me? A preteen guide to conquering addictive genes. And so, Mark, I understand. I'll start with you just real quick.
Sure.
You
are. Thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks for being here. And again, so great, because I know you're going around talking about this. You've got your books and just spreading the message. And so important, because who doesn't have it in their personal life, in their family? Friends have been affected. And addiction is such a tough thing to sort of to figure out. If you don't have the addiction, it's hard to understand what people are going through. And I'll bet you found that out. But now you're 9 years sober. Is that right?
Yes. One day at a time. I'm almost 10.
It's pretty good.
Thank
so
you.
Who wants to start to tell me about the journey of how you got here?
Well, I'll start. I had a long career of drinking, like a lot of people do. And then I was fortunate enough to be inspired by my daughter and some other things to ask for help. When I got into rehab, one of the first things I realized was that it can be a hereditary disease in a family.
Sure.
And my mom's family and dad's family, it's all over that tree. So the first thing I thought was, why don't I have this information? Why didn't I know this going to college? So I set out and to make sure that my kids knew it, Leanne as well. And then, you know, as we've discussed it over time, we realized that every family has some member that's struggling, and we wanted to make sure that, you know, every preteen had some information to be able to fight off the disease.
It's pretty amazing that you can conquer it at all. And I know it's a day-by-day thing.
Yeah.
You just try to get through today. But if you're 10 years sober now and you're 15...
She's 17.
Oh, you're 17 now? But you were 15 when you started this journey, I guess. Okay, 7. That explains a lot, because you're so well-spoken and lovely. Just so nice. Mark and Leanna Treitler. Leanna, so she was what, 7? And she said, why is Daddy drinking so much? I mean, how did it all sort of get prompted this?
Yeah, she, you know, there was a lot of things that should have made me hit my bottom and stop drinking, but the one thing that actually did it was I took Leanna to a daddy-daughter concert, and I was really excited about it, and came home, and then my wife said, Leanna, how was the concert? And she said something like, Daddy drank a lot.
Oh.
And that, to me...
She's what, 7? Something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, it was like 10 years ago, yeah. So that, to me, was what did it, and a couple days later, I went to rehab, so that's what got me in. You don't ever really know what's going to make an alcoholic or addict seek help, but that's what did it for me, is Leanna, what she said.
Sure. Leanna, what do you sort of remember from that era?
Mostly what I remember was my parents fighting a lot. I remember a lot of aggression in my house when my dad was drinking. Mostly just fighting. My brother and I were playing, or at nighttime, they would be bickering in their bedroom. I also remember feeling a little bit detached from my parents, not really realizing what was going on between them, realizing why this was happening in my family. So a lot of disconnect and a lot of kind of tension in my house.
It's a lot for any kid to take in, especially 7 years old. But that's what happens. Real life encroaches. And it's neat that you sort of tried to take command and take charge of doing something about it. So you guys you've got 2 books now?
Yeah, so we started off with My Dad is an Alcoholic, What About You? Obviously talking about myself and my dad, kind of as a guide for kids who have addiction in their genes, how to navigate through that and how to overcome.
And is that available here? We're looking for our TV audience at potatoallergy.com for one place they can find them, right?
Yes, you can also buy it on Amazon.
Oh,
Good deal.
So that was our first book, mm-hmm. and then we released a second book called Alcohol, Drugs, and You, mm-hmm. and that's targeted more towards all preteens, all teens, and fighting addiction in general, not just for that kid who has it in their genes, but for all the other kids who are worried about becoming addicted to drugs and alcohol use as well.
So what happened, 10 years ago, you got sober day by day, and then all of a sudden a couple years ago you said, you know, let's write about this journey, it's such a success, let's be a blessing to other people. Is that sort of how it happened?
Yeah, we discussed how to, you know, how to make sure that we knew about it and how we could, and then how we could help other families that are struggling. You know, everybody, I'd say 90% of the people that I talk to in the world about the book, there's somebody in their family that has an issue. So we discussed, and I don't remember who came up with the idea of a book, but she's a great writer and wanted to contribute. And next thing you know, we're talking about subject matter and chapters, and she wrote half the book, and I wrote half the book, and she's a better writer, by the way. So, and now we're just trying to get it out to as many kids as possible and give them a fighting chance.
You know what's neat when you say that, though? You know, alcoholism and addiction are things that people hide, but yet when you mention it to people, I'm sure that every single person had sort of a look of understanding because either they've been there or someone very close has, because it's really everywhere.
It really is everywhere. It's literally 90-95%. Get my hair cut the other day, and I told her I was coming on the show, and she was recovering, and her sister and her mom, It's everywhere, yeah. And it's we're trying to, you know, undo the stigma. Like a lot of things in life, if you don't discuss it with your kids at home, how are you going to make it better? How are you going to help them, you know, follow in your footsteps?
Right, and that's such a good lesson, especially as people head off to college. We sort of laugh it up. Oh, you go to college and drink. But super serious topic. Tell me about the Red Rosebud Foundation.
So we kind of started the Red Rosebud Foundation to take the proceeds from our book and all of our sales to use the money for greater causes. So we donate all the money from our books and all the proceeds to organizations that help kids with addiction and families with addiction, so we can give back in multiple ways.
Oh, that's so cool. Do we have a minute left, guys, in the back?
Yeah.
Okay, so just a few seconds, but I want to ask you, one thing you talk about is, will this happen to me? Because if there's a gene, you know, it can turn on and off. It's not completely this is going to happen. What did you guys find out, and what was the impact?
Well, certainly the statistics are overwhelming. If you have addiction in your genes, your parents or grandparents, you can be up to, you know, 5 to 10 times more likely to become an alcoholic or an addict. But, you know, as Leanna can explain, if you never start the drinking or using drugs, it's a zero chance. So that's what we're trying to do, prevent instead of rehabilitate.
Oh, that's so good. Just don't start in the first place. Wow, pretty good. Okay, it's Mark and Leanna Treitler, and they are at it's potatoallergy.com where you can find it all. Thank you for spreading the message. Come back soon, won't you?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes, we'd love to.
Best of luck.
One in three women, as you know, are sexually assaulted on the long journey north. We want to stop that. We want to stop those journeys. The way you do that is with barrier security, a wall, and making a lot of progress. In fact, I noticed yesterday when I got to El Paso, they had signs, finish the wall instead of build the wall, because we're doing a lot of wall right now. Just started a big portion of the wall in the Rio Grande Valley, which is now the biggest area for people coming in. We've sealed up a lot of the areas where people come in, but they're looking for the soft spots, and they come up in a caravan and they look for the areas without any barrier. And that's where they like to come in, and we grab them, and it's a very tough situation. Now, we could save billions and billions of dollars in cost and hundreds of billions of dollars in drugs and what they're doing to us with drugs. And so much of it comes through. And don't believe people when they say it all comes through the portals. It doesn't, the ports of entry. It comes through, the big loads come through the border where you don't have wall, where they can drive a truck, a big truck loaded up with drugs or loaded up with, as they call it, human cargo.
Of course, it does come through like that. And if you aren't hearing it in the mainstream media, there is that caravan of some 1,800 people that came up from Honduras just over a week ago, ended up just south of Eagle Pass, Texas, because instead of going to San Diego this time, where there's a wall just under there where they had to get processed, they wanted to go to Eagle Pass, Texas, because it's well known that you can sneak in very easily. So there sits the caravan of 1,800 trying to sneak in, just as President Trump says, and he wants to build a wall, darn it. And Friday's the deadline for a government shutdown. He says he wants his funding, and they're negotiating now. Tom Del Beccaro of PoliticalVanguard.com, he's the publisher for this, and also just very sought after. He's a contributor for Fox Business, Forbes. And Tom, I know you have a great new article on Fox Business about why socialism would be especially destructive in America that we'll get to in a moment. But first, what do you think is going to happen? I'm sure there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes right now with these negotiations. And so what do you think? What do you think is going to happen?
I think Trump's going to sign a deal. And let me tell you why. Even though I'm a big border proponent, he absolutely must sign it. The Democrats right now are in a free fall, and Trump is rising in the polls rapidly. His approval rating in Rasmussen is at a high, and CNN's poll as well. So they're both moving in the same direction. The Democrats, on the other hand, because of the policy positions they're taking, whether it's on the wall, abortion, the Green Deal, and what's happening in Virginia, the problems with their Muslim congresswoman who's anti-Semitic, they're in a free fall. And there's an old rule in politics. If your opponent is shooting themselves in the foot, don't get in the way. And so realistically, because the Democrats are staking such dramatic positions to the left, if the Republicans said almost nothing between now and Election Day, the Democrats are trying to hand them the election. So Trump should take this deal, live to fight another day. Everybody understands this is a process. I've been saying for years, complete the wall. Don't say build a wall. So they understand this is a step-by-step process. It's still an issue in Trump's quiver. He can say, look, I need more people in Congress, and combine it with progress, I think, on North Korea and the China deal that they're going to make, and the Democrats will be trailing. And I rate it now 60-40 that the Republicans will take back the Congress next fall because the Democrats are so poorly positioned at this point.
You really think there's a good chance of that next fall?
Look, remember that the Republicans only need about 18 or 19 seats. That's not very much. And because the Democrats are overshooting their mark so much on so many issues, I mean, the abortion issue alone scared off independents. I mean, okay, let's talk, you know, an average independent voter says, okay, I'm not big on social issues, but that's ridiculous. And being told all these taxes are going to be raised. I mean, Mitch McConnell's going to hold a vote on the Green Deal. That's really going to be detrimental to the Democrats because all of their presidential aspirants, every one of them, is going to vote for it. That's too far left. So I think the odds are now that they can take it back.
Pretty good. You know, when Tom speaks, we love to hear what his view is, because he's the author of his latest book, The Divided Era. So he's got a foundation of what it's been like, what our politicians have been through over the centuries, how they got through it, how they negotiated, how they didn't. And so it's interesting to hear you say that about next year. And the other thing, you talk about when Trump's enemies are opponents are shooting themselves in the foot, don't interfere. If Trump, who's a TV guy, let's face it, The Apprentice, etc., if he could have gone to Central Casting and said, make my opponents Elizabeth Warren, who, you know, Pocahontas, Green Deal, Kamala, Spartacus, all these things, it's like he custom picked them, and he can just sit back and say, okay, let's just wait for the ratings to roll in and see how we do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the internet here in the media age, the cable age, is helping him. Because in the old days, 2000, there was only like five or six people who would run for president. And then it was really the person with a significant amount of money who had the leg up. But in the internet age, you don't need to have all the money front loaded. You just need to be successful in the first debate, and then you catch fire. You need to be successful in Iowa, and you catch fire. Or you can do what the president did, which is run a skeleton campaign, parentheses, which was incapable of colluding with Russia. We can talk about that. And then on a very small campaign, use Twitter and make a difference. So all of these people are coming out of the woodwork, and as we talked about 3 or 4 weeks ago, they have to be more to the left than the last person, and that's what's producing this dynamic. And I think the Democrats are scaring away independents already, and there's no hope of stopping that because the first debate's not till June, and they keep just trying to one-up each other.
it's strange to live in a time where you say, okay, so after, if a baby's born and then the doctor and mother decide that they want to, let's kill the baby. That's what it is. And you're did they really say that? And how do I feel? I'm a Democrat. Whoever has to think that they have to try to decipher that and parse it out? It's infanticide.
100%. And it's too far left. Look, sitting down during the State of the Union when Trump said no socialism and frowning, that did not go over well to the American public. The American public sees the word socialism as a bad word. And you know, there's an interesting dynamic going on. Normally, big jumps in government. The Democrats want to almost double the size of government between the Green Deal and Medicare for All. Double the size of the federal government. That usually happens when there's economic collapse. You have big increases in government when they try and respond. The Gallup poll today says 69% of Americans think it's a good time to get a job. That's a record. So people don't see the problem that the Democrats keep claiming exists. And so they're out of step.
Well, Tom, I want to ask you, we're getting close to the break, but here's what we're going to talk about on the other side of it. I want to talk about this Green Deal. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, 70% plus tax, but I guess we have to take it seriously because people are listening to Ocasio-Cortez and some of her people, and you've got the Bernie Sanders, and I don't know if it's even getting so left of center for even the most hardened socialist. I want to talk about Kamala Harris and her admitting that she smoked weed back in the day when she was supposed to be against it. And I know you had a debate against her, and you ran against her for something. I want to know if you ever smelled it on her. But seriously, we'll talk about your article and why socialism will be really tough for America. Back with Tom DelBacaro, The Divided Era, right after this. But you need someone to spice it up. So who are you gonna call? You're with America Trends, Amy Fuller, Tom DelBacaro, just with us. But it's interesting, Tom. Just a few days back, we had the President of the United States of America stand up at the State of the Union address and say, we will never be a socialist nation. Who saw that coming, that would ever happen in America? Everyone say hi to Tom. He is the author of, The Divided Era, and the purveyor of PoliticalVanguard.com, Forbes contributor, and also Fox Business contributor. Tom has a brand new spanking article up on Fox, and it's called, again, Why Socialism Will Be Especially Destructive in America. Tom, tell us.
Well, think of it this way. America isn't of one DNA. The Japanese are largely Japanese. The Swedish are Swedish. The Italians are the Italians. And the English have a certain sensibility. They're the same. America doesn't have that. We came from all over the world. The American culture is built on an ethic, an idea, as even Bono said. And that idea, of course, is opportunity, economic opportunity. Now, when things get difficult in England, at least prior to Brexit or the last 20 years, the English people hung together and they didn't have cultural battles. Brexit occurred because as things got difficult, there was a cultural battle between a different culture who came there looking to take economic and healthcare benefits. And so the two cultures who weren't mixing fought. In America, if we turn to a socialist model where people are reliant on government, what happens, of course, is economic growth goes to zero. It's been at zero in Europe for 20 years. And then people start fighting each other. Immigrants fight those people that are already here. That's natural. And they'll be of a different culture, right? So that dynamic sets in. And then you have the people that are already here that are different in culture. So socialism will have a worse effect here because we aren't all British. We aren't all Italian. And that, like you saw in England, will happen all over the country, and it'd be very dangerous. And without that centralizing ethic, the country will be pulled apart.
You know, we were built on, you say, you know, we are immigrants. Well, of course, we're a melting pot. So don't tell us we don't like immigrants. We do. Come here legally. We'll protect you, give you all kinds of good stuff. And you can make it. You can do your own American dream and be a contributing citizen. So why do people think socialism is such a good idea when we've done, you know, pretty darn well with capitalism? Where have they gone oh so wrong?
Well, so, you know, as Thomas Jefferson said, after studying the Roman Republic and its fall and the Greek democracy and its fall, he said the natural trend is for liberty to yield and government to gain ground. That has always been true. It's always been easier to say, vote for me, I'll give you something, than to say, vote for me, you'll be free. It's much easier to give things away. And so there is this dynamic where people vote for the person claiming to give them something. Then beyond that, in free societies, some people do really well, some people don't do as well. And so then these equality issues come up, and those with less always say, I want to be equal. And there's always a politician who wants to address that issue, but not through better education or better job training. They want to do it through giveaways and taxes. So throughout all of history, governments grow. We've gone from a government under Jefferson of 2% of the economy to 36. That's actually the natural progress of things, at least historically. It's a bad thing. It reduces the standard of living. It doesn't need to be 36%. And I know you on the left are going to say, oh, he wants no government or no regulation. No, there's a happier medium around 20%.
Well, it's gotten a little crazy. Let's face it. We've had 2 years of this investigation of the Russian hoax. By the way, when you're all writing out your little tax bill coming up by April 15th, think about that. The money, our money that they've spent. Tom, when you talk about the socialists spending money, you know, it's all really great until they run out of our money. And then what?
Yeah. And then what they'll do, though, is the natural order of things is what Elizabeth Warren came up with, which is an asset tax. She's going to, at one time, keep in mind, the income tax was ruled unconstitutional in America, and they did an amendment to the Constitution to get an income tax. The asset tax is questionably whether it's constitutional. I think it's not. But don't put in things behind it. What happens in socialism is they spend a lot, then they have big deficits, then they tax some more, and it begins to spiral. And that's where we are now. We're actually at a dangerous point. Now, the great thing about what Trump has done is increased the private sector as a percentage of the economy. Revenues are up. But if they don't get spending under control, Amy, we're headed towards socialism. And remember, they already have a lot of socialized medicine, socialized education, sure. And socialized retirement. How much farther are they going to go? That's the question.
Right. And you just have to wonder, you know, someday, Tom, we're going to have you on for a segment just to talk about how likely is it that we will cut back on some of our taxes someday and have that less government that probably should be happening. It should be a discussion. But Mitch McConnell is going to force the Senate to vote on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's new Green Deal. She's got that cool, catchy AOC, a name they call her, her nickname. But she... A lot of people are paying attention to this woman. She's young, and it makes me think of the word sophomore, wise fool, because you just have to ask, with all that, and okay, she's young, maybe she doesn't know everything yet. She's not Tom, who wrote The Divided Era and has all this background, but she is representing us in Congress. She's trying to make these laws. Do we just say, she's dumb, she's ignorant? What are we to think when they're trying to take us in this direction?
Well, first of all, she graduated a public high school. We should not be shocked that she has such a poor education or has such poor ideas, because they don't teach American history anymore or how socialism failed around the country. That's number one. Number two, Mitch McConnell's choice of forcing a vote on this is nothing short of political brilliance,
right,
because he's going to force all of the Democrats to be one way or another. And they're probably going to split down the middle. Or maybe 2/3 will vote for it and 1/3 won't. You know, Joe Manchin won't vote for it because, of course, he's from West Virginia coal country. But a lot of them will. And where does that leave them? That leaves them in a heap of trouble, because they're going to be seen for what they are, which is the Democrats in Congress are far to the left. And remember, the Pew poll about 10 days ago came out and said the rank and file Democrats want their party to be more moderate, while the Ocasio-Cortez, Harris's, and the rest are moving ever farther to the left. So this is pure brilliance, because it puts them on the spot And they won't fare well with that because they're scaring off independents already.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see what happens and talk to you about it later. But I have to leave that topic there because I have only 30 seconds to ask you about Kamala Harris. And you ran against her and debated her and all this marijuana thing. She listened to Tupac. That was a lie. She was just dreaming. But she has her timetable up. But she's all of a sudden she wants to talk about weed when she used to, you know, be anti.
So on the bright side for her, she's doing the smart thing, which is getting these things out early, so it's yesterday's news. Perhaps she smoked enough to where she's just mistaken. That's what pot does to you. It does screw up your memory. Look, she's short on policy, and she's not good on her feet, so she's going to make a lot of these mistakes. Nevertheless, I think she'll still be in the top three or four come next year in Iowa, because of her fundraising.
I think you're right. Tom Del Picaro. See you next time. You know, you can get a lot more mileage out of your life, your things, your relationships, if you come from a place of gratitude. We see these wonderful memes on social media, but you got to stop and wonder how true it is and try to apply it to your life, I guess. So says our next guest, Dr. Michael Mantel. He is the author of The Link Is What You Think. That's his latest book. But also, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. P.S. It's all small stuff. And always glad to have him in weekly for these segments to sort of get us through a better day. Welcome back, Doc.
Good to be here again.
So good to have you.
Hoping to stir people up to some positive action today.
Oh, that's what we need.
We're talking about gratitude.
Yeah.
Gratitude is the newest health supplement on the block.
Oh, I love it.
That's been around for thousands of years.
Oh, put it on your shelf
what
now.
What do I mean by that? It says in Psalms, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Cicero, thousands of years ago, said that gratitude is not necessarily the greatest virtue of all. It's the parent of all virtues.
Nice.
The fact is that gratitude, we know today, has physical, psychological, sociological, social benefit for us. And it's based in the brain. It's not just a feel-good feeling. So how many times a day does someone open the door for you? Oh, well, yeah, there, let's take a quick look. Social. It makes you more forgiving, it helps you become more outgoing, physical, stronger immune system, less aches and pains, lower blood pressure, psychological, more joy and pleasure, optimism and happiness.
Well, we know it's all so connected, so that's so right to pay attention to. Your immune system will be boosted, you'll have less aches and pains,
right.
You'll sleep better. All those things
I want to tell you a study that was done in the 1930s and 40s. Uh-huh. They took several hundred nuns who were then required to write a 2 or 3 page autobiography. They followed these nuns until the year 2000. They were quite older women. They looked at how positive, grateful, optimistic these little autobiographies were. And what they found from the 1930s to the year 2000.
70 years.
70 years. So they were in their 20s, some of them were in their 90s. They found that for every 1% increase in optimism, positivity, gratefulness, there was a 1.4% decline in mortality.
Wow.
There was a 10-year differential between those who were positive in their 20s compared to those not. 10 years of living. And so we know there's something to this.
That's an exhaustive study. You
it's
have to give it credence.
It's an amazing study.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And there's many, many studies just like that. Huh. So when we look at what is gratitude, we understand it's a way of looking at life. It's a way of looking at the world. Do you see life as always offering rich possibilities? In other words, do you see rejection or do you see redirection? Mm-hmm. So I was turned down by more than a dozen graduate schools when I was applying, and every one of those...
I bet they're sorry now.
Well, I don't know, but every time I was turned down, I said thank you. And my friends thought I was crazy. How can you say thank you? Because something better is coming along. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm. But see, you started with Psalms, and so you're a man of the book. I'm a woman of the book. That's what they call people who are Jewish and Christian, because the book is what we go from. And when the Lord, you know that he's got you in your hands, it's easier to, got you in his hands, it's easier to come from that place.
You have faith.
Yeah.
And you know that everything, I have expression, EWOP. Everything works out perfectly. And I'm grateful for whatever happens. So when we look in and say, what else is gratitude? What is gratitude? Do you notice the simple joys of daily life? Someone opens the door for you, and when you walk into your Starbucks, do you say, thank you, I'm grateful? Do you train your view on what can go right? Do you engage in healthy behaviors and take care of yourself? Do you see your world filled with abundance and victory?
Or you could do be you... going, I'm sorry, I was just, you could be going through the same day as anybody else, but the way you look at it makes all the difference. I mean, it really does.
You know, you could be stuck in traffic. We talk about this example almost every week. It's always a traffic.
It always gets us.
But you can either be upset that you're in traffic or happy that you're alive and have a car to drive in.
In a day and age when we have music to listen to and, you know, just have that time with yourself.
Right. And so I don't mean to sound, you know, like I'm in a bubble and I'm Mickey Mouse about this. This has real bearing. Mm-hmm. It's physiologically related in our brain. Right where the two hemispheres meet, and that's where we are able to have perspective of each other.
Really, right where they meet.
Right where they meet. Perspective, empathy, and feelings of relief. And this is why it has such physiological health benefits. And so I want to talk just a little bit about how to build gratitude. How do you build what I call the GPS
system? That's actually a good thing to ask, because the first step, someone sort of goes through life going, oh, this again. What's the first step to having just a better attitude?
Well, the first step
simple
is...
Simple for you, because you're Dr. Michael Mantel.
thank you. But the first step, I'm grateful you said that.
I'm grateful and blessed you.
Right, exactly.
And on we go.
Here we go. But truthfully, the first step is find a GPS system. Now, I don't mean on your cell phone or in the car. I mean Michael's GPS system. You're going to say, what is your GPS system?
What is your GPS system?
Oh, thank you for
or
asking.
Or the sat-nav, as they say in England.
Yes, that's right. GPS, I'm grateful, I'm positive, and I'm sensitive.
Literally GPS.
My GPS system. How do we build a GPS system? So I want to show people how to do that. Here it is. You see the word grateful? I love acronyms. What's good in your life? Do you recognize what can and does go right? Here's your directions, folks. If you want to build your GPS system and become grateful, tonight when you go to sleep, what went right today? Tomorrow when you wake up, what can go right today? Appreciate what you have and be thankful for what you don't have.
That's a big one.
T, who have you been sincerely thankful for today? E, can you express emotion positively? F, you're always fulfilled and never feel unfulfilled. U means understand that everything happens for you, not to you. And L, look for what you can like in every circumstance and every person. If you will do that, you will have not just a wonderful Valentine's Day tomorrow, but your life is filled. Remember, the nun study, 10 years of living. That's what gratitude does for you. I have a practice. I stop saying thank you. I don't say thank you anymore. I say, oh, I'm grateful. And people like do a double take.
It makes them stop and think. It's not just the norm.
Exactly right. So I am grateful that I can come on this program with you every week and stir people to positivity.
We are too. We can't thank you enough. He's one of the most sought after behavioral coaches in the world. He's here with us every week. Doc, thank you so much for being you and bringing
thank
it
you.
To us. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. I'm grateful.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
So nice to have you with us for America Trends here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. Thank you to our guest, Mark and Leanna Treitler. You know, everyone here today, they're all authors, and they wrote these great books. My Dad is an Alcoholic, What About Me? I mean, some really profound things going on with this family that's giving back. Tom Del Beccaro of Political Vanguard, author of The Divided Era, and Dr. Michael Mantel, author of The Link Is What You Think. And so blessed to have them all in today. We have a lot of gratitude for them being here. Hey, finally tonight, this is a big trending thing here. It's the trailer for Frozen 2. It is out. It just dropped. Elsa and the gang are back, and it's coming in just a few months. We've got your first look and your first listen to the soundtrack, too, as we say goodbye for now.